Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show on your encouraging WPER. Welcome to another edition of Community Matters. Today, I'm excited to share with you Randy and Evelyn with Paul Steppenholm. They're going to be sharing a bit about what services Paul Steppenholm offers, how long they've been around, how they're funded, ways to get involved, and also the impact that they've had on the women that they serve. So without further ado, here is Randy and Evelyn. Well, Randy and Evelyn, I am excited to have you both on here to talk about Paul Steppenholm. And before we really dive into the conversation, could I ask you to introduce yourselves to our listeners and your role within Paul Steppenholm? Randy, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm Randy James, and I am the founder, now CEO of the foundation. And I basically run all the business aspects of the foundation, bringing in money, fundraising, and that sort of thing.
Wonderful. And Evelyn?
I am Evelyn James, and I am the executive director of the Paul Steppenholm Foundation. And my job is to find the resources for our women and help them with the goals that they would like to achieve.
Thank you both so much. So now that we know, your roles within it, who you are, now I really want to know more about Paul Steppenholm so our listeners can understand. So what exactly is this organization all about? What services are you offering?
Well, I'll go first. And the basic goal, we have two mottos. Basically, one, saving babies, one mom at a time. And then that dovetails into, we want to be in the state of Virginia, a regional center, which we are, where women who are facts are against the wall. They're faced with a pregnancy where they have no money, they might not have a job, and their significant other has walked away or isn't a part of the, having their baby. So they need a place to come, and we want to be there for all in the state of Virginia where they know they have a place to come to.
I think that's beautiful that you offer these services, and thank you so much. Can I ask, how did it get its start? Like, was there a story behind the beginnings of Paul Steppenholm?
Yeah, there's a great story, and we here at our foundation say the death of our baby was the birth of the foundation. And it all started in 2005 when Evelyn and I were going in for our sixth child, and we knew there was a problem with him, and we went up to, they sent us to Northern Virginia to have doctors look at what was wrong with baby Paul. And three doctors, one after another, came in and told us that the baby was incompatible to life and that we should terminate. And so we are a Christian family, and we said no to that. And we said, we're having baby Paul no matter what. And we did on December 13th, 2005, baby Paul Steppen was born. And we knew we had to get involved in something. So we started the foundation with a priest at our parish, Father Steppen. And we have been doing this for 16 years now and helped over 250 women and babies since we started the foundation in our baby's honor. Evelyn?
Yes, hearing that your baby has a condition you need to terminate when you're... I was beyond 7 months pregnant, and so that news was very devastating to us. But I came home that day and reading from the book Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul, there was a page in there that when I turned to that page on that day, it was telling me, it was a story of a pregnant woman with a baby with an amazing set of lungs, and that was Paul's condition. His lungs were not developing. So we didn't know exactly what that meant at that time, but we look back now and we feel as though the amazing set of lungs are shouting out to women that are in a crisis situation, and they don't know where to go, and the word is getting out, hey, you know, there's help. We can help you if you don't think you're on your own, you don't think that you can do this, and you don't have the support, well, come to us that we can help.
Mm-hmm. The miracles that happen when you say yes to God when he tells you to do something, the one big miracle that we had that showed us that we were doing what we needed to do on the right path is that we started the foundation, and within 10 months of starting the foundation, we had the first woman come into our home after being given $75,000 to renovate houses. We then opened our home in 10 months, which is a gestational period. And the first woman that came into our home had the first baby to the Paul Steppenholm Foundation on the exact day, 1 year to the date, as baby Paul was born. Wow. So we knew that God was involved in this because that statistically, that's pretty hard to believe that we could do that and that would happen. God is the only one who can make that happen.
And we are talking about life-affirming services here. And so my question is, obviously, we're talking about a primary demographic of pregnant women who are going through some struggle, some crisis. And so I wanted to know, for you, is there a specific demographic that you've seen come through in regards to, you know, race or ethnicity or area? Or are you really just open to absolutely anybody who needs the services? Your doors are open.
Yes, we're open to all denominations. Number one, we do not judge for any reason, ethnicity or anything like that. We have women that come here from Africa, you know, Uganda, and so on. We have women that come in from El Salvador and Mexico and so on. And then the United States, we have girls that come from New York or Chicago. So they come from all over. It's split, I'd say, about a third of, white girls, a third maybe African-American, and a third, or maybe a little less, of just women from other places and other countries and such.
I was just remembering some of our wonderful residents over the years and several from Guatemala that just, they bring back memories of just sweet stories of struggling at first, not being able to communicate, and then learning how to without, knowing how to speak Spanish and them learning their English. Just have some funny stories.
Well, I definitely love to get into some of those stories a little bit later in the conversation for sure, because I really do think that that helps tell the story of Paul Stephan Home. Before we get into that, I wanted to ask, how are the women connecting with you? Like how these women, obviously, if they're in need, they're in crisis. And even you said some of them are coming from Africa, they're coming from Uganda. How are they finding you? Is this a church reference or are they just looking you up on the internet?
Yeah, I'd say both. The internet is pretty popular as far as when they Google maternity homes or help for women that are pregnant. And then, mostly all of the social services in the area know of us and that we're here. And when they get a woman in all the crisis pregnancy centers, too, we reach out to them. We know them all. And when they get a girl in that's positive for being pregnant, they will then talk to the girl and say, hey, you have a place to stay? And if they say no, they call us. So it's crisis pregnancy centers are strong. And Evelyn, you can correct me if I'm wrong with that, but what do you think?
Yes, and also I think that there are several hospitals I hear from, pregnancy centers, the internet. I guess today with technology, the word gets out. There's a woman in crisis.
Perfect. Thank you. And Evelyn, I do want to go back. You had mentioned stories, and I am all about stories. I also know that it's very important to keep confidences, I would imagine, of people who come into your care. So could I ask, have you seen any women or are there any stories that you can share where you have seen the impact of not just the work that you're doing, but God's hand over that situation, God's hand over their life that you could share?
Danielle was a resident that came to us 10 years ago. She was pregnant and homeless. Her mother, because of the lifestyle she was leading, in the middle of the night. She was staying out and, for a week at a time, not telling her mom where she was. She got involved with drugs. Her mother said, you're not coming back home, after she found out she was pregnant. And she didn't have anywhere to go. But when she came to us, we could see there was something about Danielle that Randy and I both just loved her. And even though with this attitude that she had when she was there, not used to following very many rules, we worked with her. And she was with us for 5 years, and oh my goodness, she blossomed into this beautiful young woman. She lives in Orange. She has an apartment with her daughter, and she is a wonderful mom. She got her associates, and then she got her bachelor's degree. She works for the Department of Social Services. She has a wonderful job helping other families. But we are so proud of her. It's just such a wonderful success story.
She is very much on fire for the Lord, and she prays and goes to church all the time. And that is from a turnaround of a drug-filled life prior to coming to us, where she just didn't care and didn't. And she actually says she didn't even want to live. Mm-hmm. So you know, turning her life around and giving it to God and having that opportunity to do that in a safe haven of hope, love, and spirituality at the Paul Stephan Foundation. She had that opportunity to turn her life around.
Yeah, she couldn't be any more beautiful.
I think it's beautiful because you can see, you know, where she is now, simply because she had an opportunity that was presented to her. And then it's hard to not wonder what if Paul Stephan Home had not been there for her. You know, she may have been able to find services somewhere, yes, but just knowing that there are people like you there who could help her in that time of need, it's just incredible to see how God worked that all out, that whole situation.
The mission in our foundation now is, I believe we're the only maternity home and or foundation in the United States where we emphasize education. We have a director of education on our payroll that does nothing but work with every woman that comes in. We partnered up with three colleges in the local area, and we give them all the tools. We get free tutoring, free laptops, so that they can take online courses, get a certification, a certificate, and or a degree. And, you know, God put that on my heart years ago, and it's probably because of Danielle, that he did. Made me see that the way out of poverty is education. And that's what we push now. Once we can save the mom, we want to save the baby, too, from the cycle of poverty by educating the women and having something, a sheepskin, that they can have, go out and get a job, a real job, to move out on their own, get off the welfare system, and get their dignity back.
Amen. I think that is amazing. I also imagine it's not cheap. And so that actually does kind of lead me to my next question. If you've got, you know, a director of education, you're offering tutoring, you're offering laptops. I mean, I know that you mentioned at one point that you received a donation of $75,000 to help with just, you know, creating the home and getting that ready. But how are you receiving ongoing funding to continue to provide these services for the women who come through?
That we depend on people just like you and parishioners and congregations at our local churches. We have approximately 60 churches that partner with us in one way or another as far as giving yearly tithe money to us and or people in the churches. Once I go to speak, if the church will allow me to come speak and we tell our story, it opens up people's pocketbook immensely. And people are extremely generous because they want to help women. They want to save babies. That's a very touchy situation, you know, with the recent policies that came down with the Supreme Court. People want to help, but they work and they can't. But they can only help with their money, and they're glad to give their money. So I speak, and I go out to churches, and we get our word out to everyone we can. We run by donations only of people that believe in our mission. And that's simple to do if you just go to our website, which is paulstephanhome.org, paulstephanhome.org, and you can just click see about us. I ask everyone, go there first, just see about us, see what we're doing. Look at the pictures and the women and the babies. And then if you still feel comfortable, go ahead and donate and help us out so we can keep doing this for a long time.
I love it. Thank you. And you had mentioned, you know, not just the donations, but also, you know, galas and stuff that you host. And I do know that you have an upcoming golf tournament. So could you tell me a little bit about that, when it's happening, where it's happening, all the details?
Yeah, on September 16th, we're going to have the 10th annual Paul Stephan Mother's Day Classic, which is in September this year, because we normally have it on Mother's Day weekend, that Friday. But this year I was recovering from COVID, just got out of the hospital, so we had to move it, and now we're having it on September 16th at Meadows Farms in Orange County. And you go to the website, it's right there, all the details. If you want to participate in this great outing that we have, there's a chance to win a car for a hole-in-one, and we have a steak dinner afterwards where we just come and have a raffle so people can win prizes and so on. But go to the website. It's right there if you want to see more details.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And you said that this is the 10th annual. Can I ask kind of what has been the turnout over the last 10 years? Is this something that has continued to grow?
Yeah, last year was our best year. We had 25 teams come out, which is about the max that you can have for an outing. And it was a great, we raised $26,000 just on that one day. So it's a great outing, great turnout. It's a lot of fun. and they do it for a good cause.
Beautiful. And speaking of growth, I do kind of want to just go back to Paul Steffenholm for a moment. Evelyn, can I ask you, over the years, how have you seen the services, the response to Paul Steffenholm grow?
Oh, definitely. I think that just the calls that I get are actually seem to be increasing over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do have to, I do an intake and I do a screening. So we have to be careful about who we take. I'm not always able to take someone maybe that has an addiction. There are other places for help. The calls are coming in more frequently now than they were in the very beginning.
I think it's beautiful when you can see that. And can I also ask both of you, have you had any opportunities to dream about what's next, like 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? Where do you want to see Paul Steffenholm go?
Well, I thought you'd never ask that question, but I'm always a dreamer. When I first started thinking about the Regional Center and buying this hotel that was in foreclosure, I actually had my secretary say, if you go there and try to buy this home, I'm going to quit because you don't know what you're doing and we don't have any money in the bank. So, you know, sometimes you have to leap out in faith when God pushes you. And right now, to dovetail back into Paul Steffen's lungs, that we were given a word that they were going to be the most amazing set of lungs. We found out afterwards because Father Steffen came to us and said, here's when he died, we were perplexed a little bit about that because, you know, we didn't get our miracle, but God gave us our miracle by Paul being the gasoline put on the fire of Father Stephen's prayers to do these homes. And his lungs are going to be the most amazing set of lungs because I'm reaching out now in places like Cincinnati and Columbus and even up in the Buffalo area to do other regional homes across America. And his lungs will be the most amazing set of lungs because the Paul Steffen homes will be all over America one day.
Incredible. Can I ask you both, what are some ways that the community can get involved? Obviously, we know that there's a financial aspect where they can make donations, support you at events and things. Are there any other ways that the community can support the work of Paul Steffenholm?
Yes, certainly. They can go to our website and go to the volunteer section and put their name and what they'd like to do. People like to teach cooking. You're good at cooking. You're good at sewing. Or if you're good at cleaning, want to come help us clean. Whatever your forte is, it doesn't have to be in your field of expertise, but just go to the website, volunteer, it comes right to us, and then we call you back and set up time you can come out and help us in that respect. What do you think, Evelyn?
Yeah, sure. I was going to say, always in need of babysitters or, drivers. Sometimes some of the women don't have a vehicle. It's nice, you know, if there's a last minute meeting or an appointment, it's always nice to have someone to call that we could rely on for transportation.
Do you know ballpark, like how many volunteers you're currently operating with?
We probably have in and out of the homes helping us about 100 volunteers a year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because we get schools, we get churches like Grace Church up in Fredericksburg, St. Patrick's Church. They bring down 20 at a time sometimes to help do odds and ends around our facility to help us.
Amazing. Thank you. So there's always room for more then. It's not like it's, we're good right now. You tell us what skill you have, what you want to do, and we'll find a way to help.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, and if people want to come see our center, just go to our website, Paul Steffen Foundation, or paulsteffenholm.org, and contact, put under contact, volunteer, and ask for Randy to reach out, and we'll bring you down for a walk through the building and see what we've done and how beautiful the facility is for these women and how we try to bring back their dignity by giving them a beautiful place to live and bringing them, knowing that someone loves them. That's all they really care about. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And we try to present that to them by giving them a beautiful facility. So we offer anyone that wants to come tour the facility to just call us.
I think that is incredible. Thank you so much. My last question for you both is just how can we, the WPER team, but also our community, how can we pray for Paul Steffenholm?
Pray for our, for us. Sometimes it gets very stressful as a team for the things that you deal with. Just pray that God will put on our heart the spirit of God so that we can be humble and do our jobs and give dignity back to these women in the proper way. That's one prayer I would have.
Oh, absolutely. And the health of the babies, and that the mothers will have that strength to know they've got the support and they've got us to help them get on their feet and have that the peace that they can do this and move out on their own and support themselves and their baby.
Well, thank you both so much. I don't have any further questions, but is there anything else that you didn't get a chance to cover that you want to make sure our listeners know about before we close?
The one last thing I'd like to say is if you go to our website, you'll see that we also have a gala coming up in November.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great night of music and dancing and hearing testimonies from our women and either past women or current residents about their story and how they've done it. So if anyone wants to go to the website, look at our upcoming gala in November. It's right here in Fredericksburg. It's local, and it's a fun night to come out and support our mission.
Perfect. So we got a golf tournament in September, a gala in November, and all of that information can be found right on your website. And can you give us that website one more time?
It's at the 3 W's, PaulStephanHome.org. And Stephan's with an F.
Randy and Evelyn, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate having the chance to talk with you and learn more about Paul Stephan Home. And I'm proud of the work that you're doing. I think that it's incredible.
Well, it's needed in the community. You know, and thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Thank you, Megan.
And that concludes another edition of Community Matters. Thank you once again for hanging with us today. And of course, if you'd like to hear audio from any of these interviews again, you can do so right on our website, WPER.org. Have a great day.